Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and we are continuing our theme of the hour on how to be a good human, neighbor, and now friend. A lot of us just want to be near our friends again. Others want the opportunity to make new friends. Some of us are totally fine with being alone. The pandemic has made us think a lot about friendship. Really think about it. A new book, The Art of Showing Up, How to Be There for Yourself and Your People, is sharing how to navigate all kinds of scenarios, from how to handle a friend who's acting out to one who's lost a job. The book was written and researched by Rachel Wilkerson Miller, who is also a deputy editor at Vice Life. Rachel, welcome to All of It.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing great. Hey, listeners, we want to hear from you, Team All of It. Are you struggling to maintain friendships or find new friends or maybe end friendships you realize through the social distancing needed to end? Any situations on the table, whether you think you should break up with a friend and you need some advice, or you need to talk to a friend about their social distancing or not social distancing habits? Our number is 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. If you want to join the conversation, you can also send us a message on Twitter or on Instagram if you want to remain anonymous. That's at All of It WNYC for both platforms. So, Rachel, your book's so, it's really interesting. It's sort of the perfect book for this moment because you really do have time to sit and reflect. And one of the things you write about almost for the first half of the book is that before you can even get to thinking about being a good friend, you need to think about yourself a little bit and beyond like self-care and exercise and all that. You write something that's so interesting about analyzing our values. And you give us a list of things to think about, like faith and hard work and dependability or open-mindedness. How does analyzing our values help us to be better friends?
Well, I think it's really important to understand who you are and what you care about and what you need so that you can take care of yourself. And so then you can kind of better understand what you can offer friends and what you have to give and how you can really show up for them. So I think taking the time to figure out who you are is so important, and your values are in large part at the core of who you are and are kind of the North Star for how you behave. So if you really prioritize family over, you know, friendship or your career, and it's not like you have to make a choice between those things, but when it comes down to it, what are the most important things to you? If family,
oh, Rachel,
you know, how you're spending your time.
And you also say that also maybe take a look at some of the basic sort of quotidian acts of the day. Like how to get to work, what kind of food you like to eat. Why pay attention to the small details when you're thinking about yourself as a friend?
Yeah, I think that how you spend your time and your daily habits and routines are ultimately how you spend your life, and they make up a huge part of who you are. And we're starting, I think, to realize as a culture that the things we buy or eat or wear or our methods of transportation actually are tied to our values. And so I think that's actually a really good way to clue into what matters to you. And when you look at how you're spending your time, you can say, okay, well, am I happy with that? Am I proud of that? Is that actually aligned with my values? And what changes do I want to make, if any?
My guest is Rachel Wilkerson Miller. She is deputy editor at Vice Life and author of the new book, The Art of Showing Up, How to Be There for Yourself and Your People. So when you say showing up, what do you mean exactly?
Well, I think showing up isn't just about physically showing up, although it can be that sometimes too. Right now, obviously, that's a bit different. But it's about being there and present and really like bearing witness to other people's lives and seeing them for who they are. And that can be showing up for yourself too. So it can be, you know, really witnessing what you're doing and experiencing and naming it and validating it. I think that's so powerful and so affirming, whether you're doing it for yourself or for other people.
If you want to join this conversation, our number is 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. Are you having any concerns navigating your friendships? If you have any tips you'd like to share on keeping friendships alive during social distancing, or if you have an issue with friends who will not social distance appropriately, how to talk to your friends about controversial issues, Rachel has a lot of good insight on how to do this. Simon from Maine wants to know, how can you help a friendship that seems to be withering under social distancing?
Well, I think that's really tough. I think to start, you can sort of ask yourself, how was this friendship doing before that? And was it something that was aided by sort of the convenience of seeing them every week at a, you know, a hobby or group that you all participate in? Is it, was it just that you could physically see them and that was helping a lot? Or was it that you now just have so many extra chores and things that you're doing that that's cutting into that time? So getting to the bottom of what was working before and what's not working now, I think, is a great place to start. But I think if you want to connect with that friend more, even while social distancing, it's a good idea to just reach out and say, hey, I miss you. We haven't caught up in a while. How's this week looking? I'd love to set up a FaceTime or even give you a call sometime and hear how you've been doing. Just reaching out, telling them how you feel, saying, I miss you and I wish things were different is a really good place to start.
Let's talk about some of the special concerns around friendship right now. Right now, a lot of people have friends who are recently unemployed, or maybe they are the unemployed friend. Let's start about if you have a friend who's lost their job. What is a really appropriate way to talk to them about work? How can you talk to your friend who's recently unemployed about work?
Well, I think, you can start by asking them what they need from you. So do they want you to be sending them job leads, or would they rather you not? Do they, would they rather not hear about your work day and your work complaints? Or are they fine with that because it's making them feel normal? I think just getting a sense of where they are and what they need is a really good place to start. You can follow their lead. So if they seem desperate to talk about anything else and just want to be entertained, go with that. I think also remember that being unemployed, it's not just about losing your job. You can lose, a social connection or many social connections that you had with your coworkers. You can lose access to a lot of things. You might lose access to having a laptop or things like that. Again, this might not be the case right now, but I think it's helpful to think about how disruptive it is to lose a job and what an ego blow it can be. So just being really mindful of how this is probably touching every aspect of your friend's life, not just, their day-to-day routine, but how they're thinking about money, how they're thinking about the future. It's a super destabilizing thing. So don't expect them to just sort of snap back quickly or to not be worried. Like, of course, they're going to be really worried and thinking about this a lot. Like, this is a really, really hard thing to go through.
Let's take a call from Jimbe, who's calling us from Harlem. Jimbe, thanks for calling All of It.
Hi.
Hi. So what's going on with
your
life?
How are you? Great. I'm good. I'm hanging in.
Good to hear it. What about your friendships?
I have one particular friend who has become a friend recently in the past year or so, but he doesn't take things that seriously. Like, I told him, he left some stuff. I'm leaving for L.A. Please come and get your stuff. He brushed it off. I've asked him quite a few times, and it's like I had to actually lie to him to say, oh, I'm going to give it away. I'm giving it to Goodwill. And then he still didn't come over. And it's like he just completely dismisses whatever I'm saying, talking about. It's more like everything revolves around him kind of thing.
Hmm. That's really go ahead.
Dealing with this situation, it's like he's not taking it seriously.
It's Jimbe, it's so interesting because Rachel, you write about this in your book about people not respecting boundaries. Could you give some guidance or some insight on how to get someone to respect a boundary?
Yeah, I mean, what you're describing sounds incredibly frustrating. I think I probably would have similarly said, hey, if you don't come get this stuff by X date, I'm going to get rid of it. And I don't know if that would have been a lie. Like, I think it's okay to say that and then stick with it. So I think it might be time to kind of reset with this friend if you want to maintain this friendship and say, like, hey, I've noticed that when we're talking, I'm not getting as much of a chance to share what's going on with me. Like, I'd love to tell you what's new with me. And you can come from a really open place and a curious place and a non-accusatory place and assume best intentions about your friend, that maybe he's not aware of how he's acting, and then see how he responds to that. If he responds really defensively or is really nasty to you about it or says, no, that's not true, I'm not doing that, when you know that he is, then that tells you a lot about him and sort of a lot about how he thinks about you. But there's a good chance that this will actually lead to a new level of friendship where you can be more open with each other and can be honest when you're saying, hey, I don't like this thing you're doing, but I care about you enough and I'd like to work through it because I actually care about this relationship a lot. And I've had that happen, and I think it's a really meaningful step in a friendship to have those harder conversations.
Rachel, are there moments when you know that you should jettison a friendship? Are there certain signs or certain ways that you should pay attention to? Because sometimes people think we'll make excuses for people that they care about or they're interested in.
Yeah, I think pay attention to how you feel after you talk to somebody or hang out with them. If you feel really drained, if you're really dreading it every time you hang out with them, that's a really important sign to pay attention to, because that's not how you should feel after hanging out with your friends. You should feel energized. You should feel really good. So if you feel really down, that's a pretty big red flag. I also think pay attention to how you're talking about them to other people, or even how you're thinking about them. Like, if you find yourself having really negative thoughts about them, if you sort of find yourself kind of wanting to look down on the things that they're interested in, or sort of making fun of them behind their backs, like, that's probably a sign that there's something amiss with the friendship, because in a healthy friendship, you're going to think positively of your friends overall and not sort of be thinking really critically and negatively about them. So if you find yourself feeling really snarky and negative about a friend, that also might be a sign that, hey, maybe something's not right here. And it could be a you problem that you need to work on. But I think that's something to, like, start with, of what, where is this coming from and why am I doing this?
Let's take a call from Beth from Asbury Park, New Jersey. She's on line one. Hi, Beth. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, my pleasure. Thank you so much for this topic. I just wanted to say really quick two things. And one is that for my friends, I'm here like alone because I haven't lived here that long. And I have been extremely appreciative of my friends who have been staying in touch, reaching out, making sure I'm good. And I have been trying to do the same and realizing how important it is now, since we struggle on and off, you know, some of us with all the different things we're going through. But the other thing that's really helped me is that I have gotten involved with Meetup, and they've been doing with different groups on Meetup and reaching out and meeting new people that way. And it's amazing how many people want the same thing and are looking for connecting even virtually, and then hoping maybe at the end, if they're not far away, to make new friends or to experience new events through different activities we're doing on Meetup and then talking. And it's been a fantastic experience, and it's really added to this isolation thing. It's really helped so much. So,
Beth, thank you so much for sharing your story. We really appreciate it. Our number 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. We're talking about friendships during this difficult time. Riding along with us is Rachel Wilkerson Miller. She is the deputy editor at Vice Life, and her new book is called The Art of Showing Up: How to Be There for Yourself and Your People. We got an anonymous message on Instagram, and I want to read it to you, Rachel, because you touch on some of these themes in your book. This note says, my friend and I had a long conversation last night about the resentment I was feeling towards him since quarantine. He was generally having a good time and feeling creative and is still getting paid while working less. I started feeling resentful of his happiness. I found I wanted to connect with people who are talking about the difficulty of this and being present with this collective trauma. He thought he should talk less about his difficulties because he is privileged. It's a tricky line. What happens when those feelings of, in a pretty healthy friendship, of resentment or jealousy or envy start to come up?
Well, I think what this person who DM'd said has done so far is really great. I think just starting with admitting to your friend, like, hey, I'm not in a good place right now, I'm having these feelings, and just opening that conversation is a really hard thing to do. It's really vulnerable. So I think that's actually a really good first step. I think once you've kind of admitted that, it's about thinking through what potential solutions could be and sort of trying to figure out the line between how much of this is a you problem and how much of this is a problem with your friend. And there won't necessarily be a clear-cut answer, but if, you know, your friend used to be really aware of their privilege and sort of has gotten out of touch with that as they've, you know, made more money or changed jobs or whatever, that is one thing. Whereas if you recognize that I'm not in a good place right now, I'm feeling resentful of everyone, I'm not at my best right now, and it's more about you, that's kind of different. And so just starting to think through, is this person really doing something wrong or bad, or am I bringing sort of my own stuff that I'm going through right now to it, can kind of help you work toward a solution. And I think if you can say to your friend, you know, I totally recognize that this is on me and I own that and I'm going to work through that, you know, on my own or in therapy or whatever the case may be, I just wanted you to know where I'm coming from. And also in the meantime, if I could ask you to just like be a little bit more aware of how you're talking about X, Y, and Z things. Again, it's not a you problem, it's a me problem, but I just, you know, wanted to throw that out there and ask. I think most people are going to be pretty receptive to something like that and do their best to kind of work with you when you're coming from that place of vulnerability and honesty and saying, yeah, this isn't a great look, but here's where I am and I need your help right now.
You write in the book a lot about how to deal with controversial issues. And I think one of the most controversial right now is friends who don't take social distancing seriously or wearing a mask seriously. Do you have any thoughts on how to handle that? How to handle in your friend group when somebody's just decided they're not going to do it?
Yeah, I think this is really hard. And I think a lot of people are thinking about this right now. And it's tricky because I think in some ways, it's not just about the mask. It's about what the mask symbolizes. And it can reveal a lot about an individual's values if they are or aren't willing to wear one. So I think starting with the question for yourself of like, what do I know about this person? Do they generally behave in a way that I think we have the same values, that they are thoughtful, that they care about other people, that they are pro-science or whatever the case may be, like just stepping outside of this moment, which is an incredibly unusual one, and thinking about what they're generally like, that can kind of help you figure out where they might be coming from. I think if you've been having issues with this friend for a long time and this is suddenly clarifying it, but you can say honestly, like, yeah, I actually need to admit to myself that we've been growing apart over the years, or we're really different politically, and I kind of gave that a pass because I thought it was theoretical, and now I'm realizing it's not. Like, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to end a friendship because you have wildly different values about something that is life or death for millions of people. The other thing to think about is like, what does it look like to talk to your friend about this? Where are they coming from? What is their reason for their behavior? And get to the bottom of it and try to have a conversation with them about it instead of just writing them off immediately, saying, hey, I'm reading X, Y, and Z stories. You know, I'm really worried about this behavior. I'm worried you could get sick. I'm worried you could get other people sick. What's your thought process on it, and see how they respond to it. And hopefully they'll listen to you and hear you out, and they may not agree, but like you want to at least give them a chance to share where they're coming from. So then that will again inform how you're thinking about what to do moving forward and if you're comfortable with it or if you're not.
Let's talk to Louie. Louie is calling us from West New York. And Louie, you're talking about something that's in our lives a lot that wasn't before, Zoom and virtual hangouts. What's going on with you?
Yeah, I just feel that with all these new apps, there's almost a social pressure to partake in being present, so to speak. And I'm looking at social distancing from another aspect. There are no boundaries. There's no respect. People just want to call and speak to you and see you when it's good on their terms. And all of a sudden, strangers pop up into these rooms, people you don't know, so-and-so's best friend from 30 years ago. And people will call you at 7 o'clock in the morning, FaceTime or whatever, five times a day. And it's just out of control. And it just seems like everything has become so frivolous. It's just people just want to participate, not for good reasons, but just to say, oh, I'm here.
That's interesting because you talk about that in your book, Rachel, about how to say no, how to just decline. And still be friends.
Yeah, I think I think what you're describing is very real. A lot of people are feeling this pressure that they can't say no to Zoom calls. And I think you can. I think we all need to recognize that we have permission to say no. It's fine to not answer a call at 7 a.m. and to send a text a little later and say, hey, sorry, I missed your call earlier. I was sleeping or I was having breakfast or I was in the shower. Like, what's up? And just sort of get a sense of what they wanted. But you're not under an obligation to have a call with everyone. I think this idea that like we all have so much free time is a bit misleading. I don't know about everyone else, but I actually am fairly busy because I'm, you know, cooking from scratch all the time and everything feels a lot more difficult and loaded. So I think we all need to be okay with hearing no and acknowledge that our friends might not be available. Everyone's got their own stuff. A lot of people are juggling a lot right now, especially people with kids and who are doing childcare on top of everything. And we also have to just practice saying no and just say like, hey, I'm not around for a Zoom call tonight. What about tomorrow? And you don't have to have a quote unquote good excuse. You can just say like, hey, I'm feeling, a lot going on this week, feeling a bit overwhelmed. So I'm going to take the night off from being social. How's the next week look for you? Like,
you also have
people
good advice.
Get that.
Good advice, like taking notes during hangouts so that they just don't become this endless staring session. We have about 1 minute left, but I do want to touch on one thing. If someone from your past wants to rekindle a friendship, what two things should you consider before starting it up?
I think you got to think about what happened before, why you stopped talking or hanging out. Did you have a falling out and sort of has anything changed since then? And then do you want to rekindle this friendship? You know, just because they want to, you're under an obligation. So just remember that you can opt in and that you're not required to be friends with someone just because you were 10 years ago.
There's a lot of great advice in this book. If you have the time to spend with it, you should. The Art of Showing Up, How to Be There for Yourself and Your People. It is out now. Rachel Wilkerson-Miller, thank you so much for sharing your reporting with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.